Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. We could do an entire show on each one of them, but on this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Billy Rose, Elmer Scoble, Gus Arnheim, Lou Hanman, and Arthur Freed. Last week, September 6th, marked the birth in 1899 on New York's Lower East Side of William Samuel Rosenberg. You may know him better as lyricist, producer, and nightclub and theater owner Billy Rose. In high school, he was a track star and studied shorthand under the inventor of the Gregg system. He became the world champion at shorthand, able to write over 200 words a minute, forwards and backwards with each hand, and during World War I, he worked for the War Industries Board. Lured by the potential for large royalties, in the early 20s he determined to become a songwriter and got a job as a lyricist with music publisher Leo Feist. His first song, the 1922 novelty You Tell Her I Stutter, with music by Cliff Friend, became a hit for Jones and Hare. Other collaborators included Ray Henderson, Fred Fisher, Con Conrad, Dave Dreyer, Vincent Humans, Harold Arlen, and Harry Warren. Beginning in 1924, he opened a series of nightclubs, including Billy Rose's Music Hall, which hired Benny Goodman's first band for a few months. In the 30s, he produced spectacular outdoor events, including the 1939 New York World's Fair Aquacade. In the late 40s, he had a nightly radio show called Comments, and wrote a syndicated newspaper column. He left show business in the 50s to play the stock market. He died on February 10, 1966, in the West Indies. Here are three from the pen of Billy Rose. Thank you.
I don't know what to do. Hallelujah, the question is peculiar. It's got me on the go. I'd give a lot of dough if someone here would tell me, is it yes or is it no? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? If you chew it in the morning, will it be too hard to bite? Can't you see I'm going crazy? Won't somebody put me right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? The nation rose as one and sent its favorite son to the White House, this mighty country lighthouse. He saw the president. He said that I've been sent to solve the burning question that involves the continent. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Would you use it on your collar when your button's not in sight? Put your hand beneath your seat and you will find it there all right. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? If your teacher tells you not to chew it, swallow it but fight. Could you grab it with your tonsils and then swing it left and right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Here comes a blushing bride, the boob right at her side. To the altar, as steady as Gibraltar. The bridegroom has the ring, it's such a pretty thing. He puts it on her finger and the choir begins to sing. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Always taste it on your napkin if you want to be polite. Could you get a job as typist if you couldn't do it right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Well, it makes a fellow shut up when he's dying to recite. Would you give it to your parent if he isn't cursing right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
Here comes the
Thank you.
With a vocal trio of Myron Schultz, Ray Porter, and Harold Stokes, that was Gene Golkit and his orchestra, with the Billy Rose, Maceo Pinkard collaboration, Here Comes the Showboat, recorded in Kansas City, December 14, 1927. That was preceded in 1924 by the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernest Hare, and Does the Spearmint Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight, written with Marty Bloom and Ernest Brever. We began the show with Jacques Renard and his Coconut Grove Orchestra and When the Morning Glories Wake Up in the Morning, a Billy Rose-Fred Fisher collaboration. The vocalist was Johnny Marvin, who performed double duty playing ukulele. That was recorded September 26, 1927. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, September 8th, marked the birth in 1896 in East St. Louis, Illinois, of pianist, composer, and arranger Elmer Scoble. He started his professional career playing piano and organ for silent movies, and in 1920 played in Chicago with the 20th Century Jazz Band. His greatest fame as a player came from his work with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings during 1922 and 23. Later in the 20s, he led his own band in Chicago and worked as an arranger, becoming chief musical arranger for Warner Brothers' New York publishing house. He was active as a player right up until his death in December of 1970. Here's Elmer Scoble and his Friars Society Orchestra.
Thank you.
The Broadway Broadcasters, a Sam Lennon pseudonym, in December of 1925 in Spanish Shawl, written by Billy Myers, Walter Melrose, and Elmer Scoble. Before that, Elmer was on piano with the Friar Society Orchestra, directed by Husk O'Hare, on Farewell Blues. That Elmer Scoble composition was recorded by Jeanette in Richmond, Indiana, on August 29, 1922. We began our tribute to Elmer Scoble with Elmer Scoble and his Friar Society Orchestra and Copenhagen, written by Charlie Davis and Walter Melrose, from October 18, 1929. This is Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL Avalon and available anytime at all online at RadioFreeWorld.com.
This is KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, and you're listening to Glenn Robison's Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s.
Last week, September 11th, marked the birth in 1897 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of Gus Arnheim. He got his start with a group he co-led with Abe Lyman called the Syncopated Five and was pianist in Abe Lyman's band at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles. Arnheim formed his own band in 1927 and had a long run at the Coconut Grove himself. In 1929, the band toured the U.S. and Europe, including appearances at London's Savoy Hotel and the Ambassador Club in Paris. The band received nationwide exposure in late 1931 on the Lucky Strike radio show. Russ Colombo was in the band as violinist from 1929 to 31, and in 1931, Bing Crosby and the Rhythm Boys from Paul Whiteman's orchestra sang and recorded with Arnheim. Others associated with Gus Arnheim's band include Stan Kenton, Jimmy Greer, Charlie Spivak, Woody Herman, Irving Fazola, Fred McMurray, who played sax, and future game show host Art Fleming, who played drums. Gus Arnheim died in Los Angeles on January 19, 1955, but we're going to travel back in time to the Coconut Grove.
By means of electrical transcription, we bring to you a few pleasurable moments with Gus Arnheim and his Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel Coconut Grove Orchestra, playing nightly in Southern California, America's greatest summer playground. The boys are now playing Sweet Georgia Brown. Thank you.
Even know. No wonder I'm 5 and 10, there's nothing too good for my baby. Now, baby likes a limousine, so I take her out for the variety and old magazine, because there's nothing too good for my baby. Now, baby likes lots of love, and baby gets lots of love. Now, baby wants petting, baby gets petting, that's what I've plenty of. Do I give? Yes, sirree. Why, I'm no fool, I just gave her me, because there's nothing too good for my baby. Now she likes pearls, she told me once, so I eat oysters for months and months. There's never too good for my little baby. Why?
From the film Palmy Days, where it's sung in blackface by Eddie Cantor, There's Nothing Too Good for My Baby, performed here by Gus Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra. The vocalist on that Harry Axt, Eddie Cantor, Benny Davis collaboration was Harry Barris. There's Nothing Too Good for My Baby was preceded by Lois Whiteman and You Don't Know What You're Doing. Before that, it was Fred McMurray performing vocally on All I Want Is Just One Girl, written by Richard Whiting and Leo Robin. We began our tribute to Gus Arnheim with Sweet Georgia Brown, written by Ben Burney, Kenneth Casey, and Maceo Pinkard. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, streaming online at KISL.org, and available on demand anytime at all online at RadioFreeWorld.com. Last week, September 9th, marked the birth in 1894 in New York City of composer Lou Handman. He was a professional pianist at age 17, accompanying vaudeville singers in the U.S. and Australia. After playing piano in soldier shows during World War I, he went to work as a song plugger for Irving Berlin and accompanist for Marion Harris. He began composing his own songs in 1920 and left behind a string of hits including Blue and Broken Hearted, Me and the Moon, When I Was the Dandy and You Were the Belle, and his most famous composition, Are You Lonesome Tonight, written in 1927 with lyricist Roy Turk. Lou Handman died in Flushing, New York on December 9th, 1956. Here are three from Lou Handman. Thank you.
What can I do? What can I say? I gotta love you cause I'm funny that way. You are remarkable, the most remarkable girl. Remarkable.
Ted Weems and his orchestra with vocal by Country Washburn and Remarkable Girl. That record will be 75 years old tomorrow. Remarkable Girl was preceded by a joint effort between Lou Hanman and Roy Turk, Nothing, performed by Nat Shilkret and his orchestra. The vocalist on that September 15, 1927 recording was Gene Austin. We began that tribute to Lou Hanman with Jack Hilton's Kit Kat Band and Can't Your Friend Find a Friend for Me from August 10, 1925. Even though the Kit Kat Band recorded under Jack Hilton's name, it was directed by American saxophonist Al Starita. Jack Hilton had nothing to do directly with the band other than paying them.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s. This is Rapidly Rotating Records. Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon and available anytime on demand online at RadioFreeWorld.com.
Last week, September 9th, marked the birth in 1894 of songwriter and producer Arthur Freed. He was born in Charleston, South Carolina, but grew up in Seattle, Washington. His career began writing for Gus Edwards' acts and other vaudeville performers, and he performed in vaudeville himself with Louis Silvers, with whom he would later collaborate on material for New York Cafe Reviews. In 1928, he was hired by MGM to write songs for the studio's new musical department, where he was responsible for most of the top tunes in MGM's early talkies, including Broadway Melody, My Lucky Star, Wedding of the Painted Doll, and Singin' in the Rain. He collaborated primarily with Nacio Herb Brown, but other collaborators included Gus Arnheim, Al Hoffman, Harry Warren, and Burton Lane. In 1939, he was appointed associate producer of MGM's The Wizard of Oz, and he went on to produce other musicals such as Good News, Meet Me in St. Louis, Easter Parade, and For Me and My Gal. He produced a number of Academy Awards specials, and from 1963 to 66, Freed was president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Here are three from the pen of Arthur Freed. Thank you.
and when she was done, you were all the sweet things rolled up in one. You're like a plaintive melody that never lets me free. For I'm content, the angels must have sent you, and they meant you just for me.
Thank you. of the painted dog. It's a jolly day, the news spreading all around the hall. Red Riding Hood and Buster Brown, the jumping jack, jump into town. From far and near, they're coming here. Church bells ringing, ringing. All the little dollies from the fall is with the painted cheeks. Little mama doll has fussed around for weeks and weeks. Shoo the blues, no time to lose. Rice and shoes and spread the news that it's a holiday. Today's the wedding of the little painted doll. Here come the bridesmaids. Look at them in the places. Look at the fancy laces. Look at them as they smile. All sorrow away. Here comes the bride now. Look at the little cutie, look at the little beauty, look at the little doll. It's her wedding day. Here's the preacher man, oh look, as he takes his little black book. He's sure he knows his stuff, cause he's done it often enough. Here comes the bridegroom, ready for the service, just a little nervous. Now the preacher say, you're married to stay. It's a holiday, today's the wedding of the painted doll. It's a jolly day, the news is spreading all around the hall. Red Riding Hood and Buster Brown, the jumping jack, jumped into town. From far and near, they're coming here. Church bells ringing, ringing. All the little dollies from the fall is with the painted cheeks. Little mama doll has fussed around for weeks and weeks. Shoe the blues, no time to lose. Rice and shoes will spread the news that it's a holiday. Today's the wedding of the little painted doll.
Songwriter Arthur Freed, born September 9, 1894. We began with Scrappy Lambert, backed by Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra, and You Were Meant for Me, written with Nacio Herb Brown and recorded February 15, 1929. Then it was another Brown-Freed collaboration, Singin' in the Rain, performed there by Fred Rich and his orchestra with the Rollickers from May 10, 1929. We finished up with Turner Layton and Clarence Johnstone and Brown and Freed's Wedding of the Painted Doll from June 10, 1929. Layton was usually at the piano accompanying the duo, but on this particular recording, Al Starita's brother Rudy Starita played the dulcetone. The dulcetone was invented by Thomas Mackell in 1860 and is usually described as a tuning fork instrument. It's similar to a piano but has 61 notes, and it has an inverted piano-like action which strikes tuning forks rather than strings, making it much lighter and more portable than a piano. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website at www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, where you can sign up to receive the weekly playlist by email and play our Jeopardy-type vintage music trivia game. Until next week, this is Glenn Robison, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.